afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as he's making all kinds of noises in the background, but that's okay.
That's okay. I'm just squirming in my seat.
Jeez Louise! Sit still there. Sit still. And we're going to bring you our opinion in between the noise and commentary on today's economic and political events. Yes, my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and it is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Mel. Are you two giving me a hard time now? I mean, I may have to sneeze or something. You never know.
Jeez. Well, I'll tell you, well, you're asking for it there, buddy.
Of course, I'm a male and you're a female. That's just the way it works out.
I know. I hear you.
I understand that. I do.
I know.
So how are you doing today?
And that's another program. I'm doing great today. Thank you. How about you?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day. I've had a good day so far, and yeah, I have no complaints.
Beautiful day. I am looking forward to fall. I'm looking for the temperatures just to break a little bit, not a whole lot, but. We had another trying day in gold today. Gold tried to go higher and higher and higher. And New York spot price aftermarket, 1502, almost 1503, up 370. Silver was up 19 cents today, fared a little bit better, got back up over 18 at 11 cents over 18. Platinum was up 3 at 943. Palladium was down 9 at 1600. The USDX was down 41 at 98.24, still pretty strong. All the hoopla over the oil and all this kind of stuff, oil was down 375 at 59.14. I told you it wasn't going to be a big deal yesterday. You know?
Yeah.
It was just all, it was knee-jerk reactions, as I said, knee-jerk reactions, and nothing was going to come out of it. And, it's all posturing. It's all scripted. It's all theatrics. And it's all for the benefit of you and me. And it's just really ridiculous. But anyway, let's go ahead and see what the stock market did today. I didn't have a chance to follow these markets today, so it'll be interesting to see. The Dow was up 31 points at 27,108. NASDAQ was up 32 at 81.86. S&P back up over 3,000 at 3,005. Oil prices tumbled, as I mentioned, after Saudi Arabia says production is coming back online. And we saw the U.S. oil futures settle down almost 6%. It was the worst one-day drop for U.S. oil since August 1st. Oil prices initially fell after Reuters had reported Saudi Arabian oil production would return to normal within 2 to 3 weeks. Their energy minister said the country's oil exports would not fall in September, as they're going to rely on their reserves to keep the exports stable. So investors took that as a positive sign about the impact of the weekend's attack on global oil supply. And that's pretty much within about a half an hour left. Well, this was earlier. Let's see. Yeah, that's about it for the oil. So, big distraction there, ladies and gentlemen. And I still find it very difficult that you could have 10 drones coming in without much notice. You know, it's not like they're invisible, you know?
The other shoe's got to drop yet. There's something more to this. You know, that I don't know what they were trying to instigate a war, trying to find an excuse to go to war. I have to give Trump kudos on the fact that he remained pretty level-headed. He didn't start screaming, retaliation. He said we were locked and loaded, we're going to watch, we don't want war. So I'll give him kudos for that. I don't know if the other side was trying to push into war or what. But if we think oil prices are high, even though they come down today, if we go to war, they will skyrocket. You know that.
Well, the thing of it is, I said the markets really didn't move as if there was anything from it. And I think, yes, these markets are manipulated. Yes, they're algorithms, so they don't respond to emotion and so forth. But Now, I don't know. I don't know what the ultimate thing was. I think it was a test. Because we know we've seen these markets being played by what people say. Remember, words mean more sometimes than what actions really do. And, you know, we need to see. I just think it was a test. I don't know. We will have to wait and see. But there's something fishy about it. You know, it's kind of fishy about when that other, you know, things were going on in the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, it's like, yeah. And, hey, today's Israel's elections. Did you hear anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about who's won yet. I know it said Netanyahu is fighting for his life, so to speak, to stay in office. But I haven't heard any results yet.
Well, he just might go to jail if he doesn't stay in office. So maybe that's why he's fighting
maybe that's
so hard.
But, you know, talking about the attack, though, on Saudi, something has to be done. I don't know who did it, unless the Saudis had to plan themselves for a purpose. Somebody had to do it. Are they just going to ignore it completely? Let it go away? Hope it goes away?
I mean, they cut up a journalist in pieces. They're slaughtering people in Yemen. All those from 9/11, regardless of the, you know, taken their story, were all from, or the majority of them were from, they were Arabs. And it doesn't seem that anything really matters. They can pretty much do whatever they want to do. And so I'm not sure if it's coming back on production. Who knows? I mean, right before this happened, Russia came out and said that they were just going to keep going. They weren't going to cut production in order to stabilize the prices. Saudis needed the prices to be stabilized. I don't know if this did it or not. So I don't know. Again, I find it hard to believe you have 10 drones coming in.
Well, again, I find it hard to believe nobody's going to retaliate somehow and find out who did it, or try to find out who did it. If Iran really did it, I would think somebody would want to do something to punish that move. That's what's got me kind of curious. They're awful
calm
about
this. But what are they
going to
do?
I don't
know.
That's a point. I mean, if they knew who did it, then they could probably do something. But are they just going to say, well, hope it doesn't happen again, and ignore it because they don't know who did it? I mean, I don't know. That's a quandary. That was a pretty good hit. You know that. You saw that. So I don't know. It's kind of like somebody slapping you in the dark. You may not know who did it, but you sure like find out.
Well, it's just like anything else. They really don't ever find out. You know, everybody gets a pass. And if it was Iran, what are they going to do? Is it going to bring them to the table to talk? Both sides don't want war.
Well, Iran said she wasn't going to talk to anybody, period, no matter what level. So I don't know. Again, I'm just curious. Generally, when something like this happens,
they'll come to the table if there's conditions. They'll come to the table if there's conditions. They're not coming to the table if there are no conditions. And the people, what gets reported in the press and what President Trump says, one minute there's going to be, oh, yes, there will be conditions, and then he comes out and says absolutely no condition. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
You're
right.
So
I don't know.
We don't know.
But there was a time when this would have called a flare-up all around the world, and it would have been news for days. And now it just fades off in 2 days' time. It's no longer really news. Again, yeah. I'm amazed. I mean, it might be good. I hope it's good. But I just can't imagine any nation saying, well, gee, we don't know who did this, so we're not going to do anything. Of course, maybe they don't know what to do, like I said. But you just can't shrug it off and say it's not important, because it was. So I have no idea. I mean, was anybody killed in this attack, by the way?
I don't believe anybody was reported.
I didn't hear anything about that, no.
No.
Okay, so, I don't know.
Isn't that convenient? Nobody works at night?
Good point. I have no idea. This is curious beyond words. It really is. I can't imagine any nation taking an attack on their sovereign private businesses and not trying to do something about it to find out who did it and punish him. But apparently this is going to just kind of die away. We will see.
Well, here's a little bit of good news. I don't know what it means and so forth, or if it's just a blip or whatever. Of course, I could kind of see it if if July had been a pretty good, we saw some pretty good numbers from the consumer that they're out there spending. So this is a follow-up. Maybe, you know, it's due to that, but the U.S. manufacturing output did increase in August. There was a surge in the production of machinery and other goods, but the outlook for factories still remains weak amid rising, of course, headwinds from trade tensions and, of course, the slowing global economies. But August seemed to do okay. We also have there's a report from the Federal Reserve Tuesday. The officials from the U.S. Central Bank gathered for a two-day policy meeting. Economists said it was too early to conclude that the trade-driven manufacturing recession was over. And, of course, we're looking to see that the drag from the trade war could spill over to the broader economy. And they want to see another solid gain in September before anybody says that there are signs that manufacturing is pulling out of its trade-related slump. So, but the manufacturing production rose 0.5% last month after an unrevised 0.4% drop in July. That's unusual that they don't revise something. To get an unrevised number is like, oh, that's scary. Economists polled by Reuters have forecast manufacturing output to rise. Production at factories fell 0.4% in August on a year-on-year basis. And, of course, we know that manufacturing accounts for about 11% of the U.S. economy. And so I guess that's a little good news. We'll see what the Fed has to do. There was a lot of inventory overhang that could have hurt manufacturing, mostly in the automotive industry. We saw motor vehicles and parts production. That fell 1% last month after increasing in July. We have the strike going on, and I just saw a headline. I didn't have a chance to read it before the program, where for every employee of GM, it relates to seven other people being employed. Usually the ratio, the multiplier is 3. I guess with GM, it's 7. So that's huge. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
But I still expect them. You know what's interesting? I also heard that the employees in part of this strike wants GM to bring back manufacturing to the United States. Now, their health care for GM to pay, it only lasts a month. If the strike goes on longer than a month, they'll have to pay for their own health care. GM. Now, I don't know if they pay for it or if it actually stops. I don't know which, but the GM only pays for 1 month of health care for the strikers. But the strikers had wanted manufacturing to come back to the U.S. I don't think employees have that type of power. Do you think?
Well, you know, I did not know that. I didn't hear that part. I don't know. But if they want the jobs come back to the U.S., if that could happen, that'd be a wonderful thing. But I don't know that they have the clout to do that. I don't know. That's a, I mean, it'd be an interesting thing to see if they would come back to the U.S. Can you imagine a car made in the United States, all of it, every part of it made in the United States, assembled in the United States, we could say actually made in USA? That's almost unheard of nowadays. But even parts come in from different places that are you know, overseas or Mexico. And so they're not, even if you have one put together here, it's not USA made, so to speak.
But you know what? When you talk about 46,000 people, and they're on strike, and I can't recall how long it would take before GM would actually be, where they would actually feel this strike. I think it's weeks, months, maybe 6 weeks or something like that, maybe even a couple months. But it would be interesting if these strikers, you know, if they didn't work for 6 months, what would happen?
It'd be interesting. I don't see that happening, though. I really don't. I don't think
I
they
don't
can
either,
afford to hold out that long.
Yeah, I know. But kind of interesting, though, because we really would have the power.
Yeah,
I mean, it
true.
Would bring these corporations to their knees.
You remember,
but unfortunately...
Go ahead.
But unfortunately, people are not financially stable enough to go that long without an income.
No, they're not. Well, you remember in Poland back in the 80s, Lech Walesa
yeah.
called for a national strike?
Mm-hmm.
And he made a difference there, didn't he?
Yes.
So I don't see it happening here. You know, some years ago, the truckers asked for a national strike. It never happened. American people are a little bit too complacent on that. I mean, as long as it's not affecting them, they're not willing to help somebody else out. Their ox is being gored. You know, they're on their own. So I don't see it happening. I really don't. It would be a sacrifice that most of them are not willing to pay.
Well, yeah, because you know, it's because we've all been put in a position where we can't, and you know, there's no encouragement for savings. You know, people don't have savings accounts and so forth and whatnot. But we do have the power.
Yeah, we should have the power.
We should have the power.
But you know, nothing is free, so to speak. It always costs something to take a stand like this. And the American people, again, just don't seem to have the stamina they once had as a people, as a nation. I mean, some few, I'm sure, and I'm sure they could make a little bit of difference. But for the nation to say, okay, you're mistreating our neighbors here, although it's not affecting us directly right now, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to join them, but that's not going to happen. We just don't see it happening. That's happened in my lifetime anyway.
Well, I did see there was not a whole lot of details. I guess there has been some sort of an agreement with Japan as far as a trade agreement. I'll ask James Corbett about that when we have our conversation this week. Not a lot of details, no details on the automobiles. And President Trump is not going to Congress. He's going to do an executive order. He's going to streamline it fast. I'm not sure that's the proper political term for it, but he can streamline it and do it with an executive order with the trade agreement with Japan. I'll see if I can't find a few more details on it while we do the program today. Vice President Pence is hoping that the new NAFTA agreement will be ratified by the end of the year. So I think a lot of things, perhaps, Butch, they're just being held to get completed by the end of the year because of election next year. So if a lot of these things get done, it'll look good.
Well, we'll tell. And, you know, it's hard to believe election's about a year away already. These years went by so quickly. We agree with what he's done or not. Makes no difference. They went by fast. And the next election, each election scares me more, if you understand what I'm saying, because the choices we have become less desirable every time, don't they?
They do.
So, I mean, it's a scary situation. Whenever you really don't have any really real choice on, we'll say, the two main parties, there's no real clear-cut choice here. I say Trump's less of the evils, perhaps, but evil's still evil.
Hey, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about the agreement with Japan that Congress, the letter that he sent to Congress, and he said that he's going to be entering into an executive agreement with Japan regarding digital trade. Neither agreement would require a vote in Congress under the so-called fast track. What is that noise?
That's Marcia talking, going by.
Oh.
I mean, what can I say? Okay, go ahead.
Does she know you're on the radio?
Yeah, she does. But anyway.
The Trump administration last year notified Congress that it would pursue negotiations with Japan under this agreement. So we'll see. We'll see if we can't get more information out of that. The G7 summit last month, Trump said that he wasn't considering auto tariffs at the moment. So we don't think any of the auto tariffs is in this agreement. And there has been talks. It was over the past year, the scope of talks has narrowed to exclude the automotive sector, the source of most of the $67 billion U.S. trade deficit with Japan. So I don't know why that would be excluded if most of the deficit with Japan, the $67 billion, is in the auto sector. So I don't know why you would ignore that if that, but hey, that's...
Well, I'll have Trump call you.
Would you please?
I'll do that. But, you know, we're seeing in the last couple of weeks, I know you have too, that, you know, fears of recession. And this article said recession fears among fund managers rise to the highest level in a decade. They keep referring back to 2008, 10 years ago. And now the fears, they said investors have some 30% of investors polled in Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, and Fundraiser Manager. Survey of September released Tuesday expect the recession of the next year. Now, again, that's coming into election time. Trump may be pulling all this off just now to get through this without a big hitch next year. I don't know. They said the survey conducted across 235 panelists with a combined $683 billion in assets under management revealed that investors see German fiscal stimulus as carrying the most bullish potential for assets over the next 6 months. So I don't know. We'll see. But everybody keeps talking about referring to 2008, 2009. Seeing go back to those times again. And maybe Trump is doing this at this time just to kind of boost it through November of 2020. I don't know, Melody, but it's interesting that all this is coming out and everybody mentioned 2008 again. It's going back in the same type of thing. So maybe these trade deals are for a reason to get us through that. I do not know. It's interesting.
I don't think the two have anything to do with the other, but...
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I really don't know, but I know the Feds... The Fed's divided on whether they need to cut interest rates again or not, and so I don't know what's going to happen there. If they cut rates, I mean, some people are all for that, including Trump. But we've said this many times, going to negative rates is not a good thing in the long run. But it seems like this is still being discussed, and could this be their last Trump card, so to speak? No pun intended, to keep everything above water.
If I'm sorry, if
the,
what?
Could a negative interest rate be their last trump card to try to keep the economy going?
Well, I don't think we're going to go from here to negative rates overnight. I mean, it's going to be a gradual slump. It's not going to happen overnight. So we're not going to get to negative rates. To me, when they're talking about negative rates, that means the stuff has hit the fan already, and that's where they need to go to, you know, where it's just about ready. So is it going to happen overnight from where we're at now to zero? No, I don't believe so.
Well, what are the rates right now?
I think they're about two and a quarter.
Two and a half, something like that, yeah.
Two and a quarter, yeah. So if they drop it another quarter point, so we're looking at, you know, two. So, yeah, it's not going to be negative overnight. I'll tell you what, if he dropped it from two to zero, yeah, can't he bar the door?
Well, you know, the rates have been low for how many years now? Really down over the last, would you say, 8 to 9 years, probably, they've lowered the rates.
Well, sure, heading into
Yeah, exactly. So, we're 2.5% from zero. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. But Andrew Yang is getting a huge boost, and I guess you know how, right? Andrew Yang gets huge expansion to an email list. You know how he did it? Nearly 500,000 people applied for his $12,000 a year giveaway. Wow. What's his email address? Andrew Yang's offer from a Democrat debate staged last week to pay 10 American families $1,000 a month for a year to showcase the universal basic income campaign promise has drawn almost 500,000 email entries into the $120,000 lottery. I'm not, maybe this is for real. The offer also helped the 43-year-old long-shot presidential candidate collect $1 million in donations in 72 hours following the debate. The campaign said that over 90% of email addresses are new, a huge expansion of the candidate's email list. He also gained more Twitter followers over the course of the debate than any other candidate. While some rivals on the debate stage laughed and rolled their eyes at the ploy, Yang's campaign sees the Freedom Dividend Pilot Program. Let me repeat that. Freedom Dividend Pilot Program as an example of why their internet first campaign has pushed them to sixth place in a crowded contest. We've got a 21st century candidate. We're running a 21st century campaign, campaign manager Zach Grondman said in the Politico report. That's something that many of our competitors can say. So Melody, is a 21st century candidate supposed to start giving money away to all citizens of the country? Is that how it works in the 21st century?
I guess it does. But the one thing that's dangerous about him is that he's young enough, but he's old enough to really relate to the younger people of this country. And he's a smart guy, and I think Bernie Sanders, he was fresh, he was new 4 years ago. But the younger generation sees him as old, you know. So
that's true.
But Yang, no, he's the freedom dividend is what I was telling you about when I heard him first interviewed, like, probably about a year ago, and they did this mass market test to see what would be accepted among conservatives, and he said they went through tons of different names that they could call UBI. And conservatives accepted the freedom dividend.
Just like they accepted the Patriot Act.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course,
yeah.
But you know what's really scary is, though, he's getting attention with this.
Yes.
But people are so used to being taken care of by somebody else, they don't blink an eye when someone says, we're going to give you $1,000 a month. If from now on, if you vote for me, I'll give it to everybody in the country under 65 years of age, $1,000 a month, every month. How does he give it? Where does it come from? And since when have we become such an ignorant people, we believe that there's no strings attached?
Since we became so poor?
I guess, and so socialistic-minded, to tell you the truth. What boils down to, most people in this country are socialistic. They don't want anything else. If you give him a choice between two candidates, one that says, listen, I'm going to promise you enough, I will take care of you from womb to the tomb, medical care, everything, like Bernie, everything's paid for, womb to the tomb, we'll take care of you. We have one that says, listen, I'm not going to give you anything for the government. We can't give it to you because it's not ours to give. But I'm going to set you free to earn your own way and keep what you earn. Who do you think would get elected?
Well, who do you think?
I think the one who promised everybody a benefit.
Sure.
It's worked Absolutely. Now in my lifetime. Every time we're going to increase Social Security benefits, we're going to start. And this all started in my lifetime, Melody. A lot of these programs like HUD, Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, all that started in my lifetime.
Well, you know what's interesting is when you hear about these elections and you hear the debates and so forth, it's no longer about how we can protect this country. It's no longer about this country. It's all about we're trying to help our constituents. We want to help the people. We want to make sure that they get what they deserve. And it's just like the whole the speeches, the promises, it's just and even the conservatives and even the Republicans, it's all about what they can get to take home, to give to the people. And it's just, it's just wrong.
It is wrong.
It's just wrong.
It is wrong, but it works. People support those who promise them benefits.
And I get the idea. You have corporate welfare. Look what government does for these corporations. And, I'm not in favor of taxing corporations so they can, pay for the free stuff to everybody else. But it has gotten so out of balance. Nothing trickles down.
That's true.
Nothing trickles down. Oh, just enough trickles down to keep people thinking that war's going to come. Enough trickles down just to keep everybody working. And we're their little worker bees, and we keep doing what we're doing. So give me just a teeny more. Promise me something. So I have hope that, I can continue.
Well, the scriptures even, I've been a pastor. I can't help but bring it up. That's what I do. That's who I am. In Proverbs 23, first two or three verses, it talks about if you sit at the king's table and he promises you dainty things, nice benefits, whatever, put a knife to your throat. He said, if you're a man given to appetite and lust for these things, cut your own throat. That's how serious it is for a man to trust in government. He said, if your king promises these things and you're given temptation to this, cut your own throat. Don't take him. Now, that's what God says. And in Jeremiah 17:5, he said, cursed be man, put your trust in man. So we've done that, Melody, and we keep on doing that. And we wonder why we keep seeing more and more rights, if you want to call them that, or liberties, freedoms taken away from us. We're told how to do this, how to do that, and why we have to have inoculations, fasten your seatbelts, wear your helmets, all this. Because if they're going to feed us and clothe us and take care of us, they have a right to tell us how to take care of ourselves. Because if we don't, we're an expense to them, just like your children are. If they don't eat right, you're not going to let your child eat chocolate cake 24/7. No matter how much he squalls and wants it, because it's not good for him, and you're responsible for him. What's the same thing with government with us? The more we trust in them, the more we ask for their stuff, the more right they have to tell us what to do. That make any sense?
Sure it does. And, I don't think we got to this point until we actually became so globalized. And I agree. That's where we lost our way. And, and it's just human nature. It's just... there isn't anything that stands still. You continue to grow. You continue to evolve. Our cities, our counties, everything just seems to evolve, and to the changes that are happening and so forth. But it's like all common sense has just been thrown out the window. Common sense, faith has
we've been replaced.
The morals been replaced. Because maybe we can't grow, based on, I don't know. Anyway, I don't mean to get I don't mean to be preaching, because this isn't a preaching show, and I'm not a preacher, Butch. You are. I'm not.
Well, but it does show that as a whole, most people, and I've been guilty of this too, don't think any further than into their nose. They think for the immediate future, what's going on today, tomorrow. They don't think what's going to happen to their children 10 years from now. It's right now. Let's take care of this. Different topic, though. This I thought was an interesting battle. Because of the bloodbath ongoing in the trucking industry right now, it's important to realize just how much Americans are depending on trucking. If truckers stopped working, grocery stores across the country would run out of food in just 3 days. Trucking moves 71% of the freight in the United States, according to the New Haven Register. That means if truckers in this country just stopped working, grocery stores would be out of food, plunging the nation into an epic food crisis. Without trucking, we will be naked, starving, and homeless, Mac Robbins, a longtime trucker and leader of the trucker strike group Black Smoke Matters, told Business Insider. And this is true. And the trucking industry really is hurting, Melody. And if there would be an increase in oil prices, if something would happen to put the price of fuel up through the roof, this would affect the truckers also. But you know, you and I have discussed in the past few months how many different trucking corporations and companies have shut down. And they are the lifeblood of this nation, are they not?
That is correct.
So, I don't know. I mean, this is so fragile. We see here things happening and it's working okay every day. We're going to the store, the food's there, where water's coming in, power's coming in. All this is coming in. But the chain and the links are so fragile. If the trucking link broke, what would happen? If the power grid broke, what would happen? So we seem like we're invincible, but we're not. The slightest little link breaking in the chain, Melody, would slow down everything and probably hurt a lot of people. That's what would happen, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So I mean, America has been blessed and protected, so to speak, for a lot of years to grow and to prosper. And we have. We truly have. You and I know in our lifetime, we never had war on our soil, so to speak. We hadn't been invaded. Even in World War II, the Japanese wouldn't come in because they knew the city would be a gun behind every blade of grass. They knew better than to invade America. We haven't had a war here since the war between the states. But that could change. Just because we've been sitting kind of cozy and spoiled for the last 100 years doesn't mean that things cannot turn around. And America is... infrastructure is crumbling. That people don't know how to take, if they cannot or don't know how to take care of themselves, they may one day wish to goodness they'd listen to you and some others and got themselves prepared some way to feed themselves and their children. It's not just me and you, our children, grandchildren, family members get hungry, they're going to come to your house for something to eat. If you don't feed them, it's just going to be, they'll be bad as everybody, you're about bad as everybody else. So, folks, when she tells you need to listen to this, so we're telling the truth, the infrastructure is so fragile, a little bleep on the radar can slow things down terribly and hurt millions of people. I know the power has been going off in South America now, different times. Of course, it's been going off and on in different countries around the world that we don't know about because they don't report it. So why couldn't it be here? Any comments on that?
No.
And I guess you saw this. The House Judiciary Committee is to hold its first meeting on impeaching Trump. You probably saw that. I don't think go anywhere, but they're holding the first meeting about impeachment on President Trump. But even Pelosi doesn't want to do this. She says it's too complicated, too much a mess. But they are still talking about it. I have to give Trump credit for one thing. He's caught more flack since he's been in the office than any president I know of in history.
I know it. Poor guy. But I think he can take it. I think he has a pretty tough skin. But what we can't take is we can't keep talking because we're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs live or archived. Just make sure you get to the website and the radio page. So,
well, you know, tonight I'll be talking about you more on our broadcast because I have Joseph Myers on, who's a very, very competent economic advisor and speaker. He'll be on that with me. And, of course, we'll be talking about you and off and on and sharing, after, as he shares the news, what's coming down, how people get a hold of you, because I think it's very important. Gold has went up and it stayed 1500. It is not leaving 1500. I don't think we'll ever go back down below 1500 for any period of time now. I may be wrong, but I do look for it to continue up in spurts. So I'll be talking about you quite a bit tonight and how do people get a hold of you. Because Joseph Myers is one of the leading experts, I think, on economic situations. It reminds me a little bit of Bob Chapman. His voice is kind of different. It's kind of a little bit hard to understand, but he's a very sincere, humble man. And it just tells it like it is.
Why is he hard to understand?
His voice is kind of high pitched, maybe, I guess. I don't know. But he's super, super good speaker as far as information, and such a humble guy.
I never heard of him.
You might want to listen to him tonight if you get a chance. Joseph Myers is a man that puts out a monthly, a quarterly magazine. He's supposed to send a copy. I haven't got it yet to me, but what's coming down, and I've read some of them in the past. And it certainly has been hitting it pretty much right on the head since I read in the last 6 months, 8 months. So I think you're in for a good broadcast tonight. If you get a chance, man, tune in and listen to it.
I think you like it.
All right.
All right.
And
what's next?
Back to Trump. And this, he's telling the truth here. He is. During September 16, 2019 rally in New Mexico, President Donald Trump called out radical Democrats for trying to take American guns. And they are, people. They are. Trump warned citizens of radical left Democrats pushing regulations, higher taxes, and constraints on free speech. He observed that left-wing Democrats want to confiscate your guns and eliminate your God-given right to self-defense. Trump added, as your president, I will never allow them to take away your liberty, your dignity, and I will never, ever allow them to take away your sacred right to keep and bear arms. So on September 15, 2019, Breitbart News reported Trump warning that Democrats want to confiscate guns. And that has come out in the open now. One of them, O'Rourke, said he wanted to confiscate guns. AR-15s for sure. He wants to confiscate them. This is not a joke. And I want to time get into this because it's a whole different teaching. But we have more than a right, Melody, to defend ourselves. We have a God-given duty to defend ourselves and our families. You know that. It's a duty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something. If I were with you and someone attacked you, I don't have any choice but to defend you. And if I didn't like you, I'd defend you because that's what I'm told to do. That's what God told us to defend each other. To preserve life. Thou shalt not kill means thou shalt preserve life. So innocent life must not be taken. And we must defend each other. So this is a God-given duty we have to understand. It's enumerated, of course, in the Bill of Rights as a right, but it's beyond a right. It's a God-given duty. And Trump's right on this. The Democrats are coming, they said. They said it, I didn't, to take your guns. And so we can go on to go further than that. There's no point in it, I guess, but that's just the point I want to make. He's right on that. So he's making some points, I do believe, with gun owners in America anyway. He's making some points.
Which just confuses me because he's a supporter of the red flag states. So
yeah, he's the one who brought it up. Mm-hmm. He's the first one to bring that up before anything ever happened as far as red flags. He said, I saw him say this, take the guns first, go to court later. Then the first state, I think it was Maryland, passed a red flag law and it cost a man his life in Maryland. And it's going across country right now. The red flag law is totally immoral and unconstitutional. But who cares?
I guess they're supposed to release something this week. President Trump is. So we'll have to see what that will be.
Release something about red flag, you mean?
No, about gun laws.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I heard you say something. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I heard
so
you say
we'll
that.
See
yes.
what that is. But
I said we will. Go ahead.
I just want to do an update because we mentioned this at the beginning of the program about Bibi Netanyahu. I guess it's there still is no clear winner. This was just released a couple minutes ago, and they foresee yet another stalemate, and so they're just not sure still who the winner is. So that's how tight of a race it is.
Yes. I did read it was going to be too close to call, right away. So we'll see. But, at least he didn't go to war yet to save his seat like he said he might.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Now, it's your turn. Where do you want to go?
I want to go to the beach.
Well, you're there already. So.
No, I'm not. I'm in my office.
Oh, gracious. What a life, I tell you. What a life.
So, nope, it's Tuesday. I just saw that where, it was still deadlock over there. But I just wanted to comment on something, too. I guess, I don't know if I can find that. Nope, I can't find it. It had something to do with, since Beto's comments in the debate last week about guns and taking them away, I guess, of course, gun stores are being inundated with people going in there and buying the AR-15s.
Yes.
They're running specials. There's one place that called it the Beto special. I love it.
If they will confiscate, it might be some bloodshed. I'm serious, and I cannot say anything against the idea that people defend their rights on that. I can't. I won't say anything against that. I won't. But along a different topic here, do you remember back in 2000 when they brought out the Real ID Act for the driver's license?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I fought that myself for 12 years without a driver's license because I wouldn't do a digital picture. Where now something's changing, and this could be if you fly, this is gonna make a difference with you in your life. I know my Marsha Jean flies out to see her grandkids in Colorado at least once a year. I don't get to go every year, but starting in October 2020, she'll be able to fly anymore. Now here's the reason why. A sign at the federal courthouse in Tacoma, Washington, informed visitors of the federal government's Real ID Act, which requires state driver's license and ID cards to have security enhancements. So it becomes a federal ID card, not a state ID card. A post 9/11 law designed to keep people from using fake IDs to board airplanes is one year away from taking effect, but the chairman of the Senate Committee, Science and Transportation Committee, worries that it's destined to create Y2K-type disruption at the nation's airports in October 2020. Even though most states are issuing the Real ID's enhanced driver's licenses, required with the passage of 2005 law, Mississippi Republican Roger Wicker said that he worries passengers who don't have them and don't know they need them will be caught by surprise on October 1st, 2020, when airports begin requiring the enhanced ID to pass through security. The enhanced ID is a federal ID, and if people have it will know because it has a star on the upper corner, I think right-hand side. I don't have that. I'm not going to get that. You don't have to get that. But you won't be able to go into federal buildings or fly without that. So that could be a great problem for a lot of people if you do a lot of flying and you don't want to go down that road.
You use your passport.
Well, I don't know that that's going to work anymore.
Yeah, you can use your passport.
Okay, can you? I don't know. I didn't know that.
But
some people, a lot of people don't have passports. But it's just amazing to me that they do this. And they passed, like I said, in 2005. That's been a while back. But they're bringing it in October 2020. And the guy's right. How many people even know about it? I mean, who's been keeping up with it? No one's been keeping up.
Well, you know, we often talk about open borders, and we look to Europe, and Europe was basically a test. You know, they opened up their borders, they went with one currency. We know we're going to have currency changes. We know we know there was the highway that connected, Canada, United States, and Mexico. And what better way than to have a federal ID that is acceptable, federal, that they can track you and use your passport. That's what
true.
They do. You know, people use passports to travel in Europe. And so is this just the beginnings of, you know, that's their future design. That's their future, you know, hey, just open it up.
Well, you know, you mentioned immigrants and migrants.
You don't have to have tariffs. Open everything up.
That's very true. That could happen. And they're making an international passport, what you're saying, right? Just, I mean, go from place to place, no problems.
You might still have your country's passport, but it will be accepted, you know, to where you can come and go, drive. I don't know. I'm just speculating
It's a thought. You mentioned migrants, and this is how interesting. This is in Slovenia. Vigilantes in Slovenia patrol the border to keep out migrants. This is Radovica, Slovenia. Blaz Zidar has a mission, patrol along a razor wire fence on Slovenia's border with Croatia. Each catch migrants trying to climb over, hand them to police, and make sure they are swiftly sent out of the country. The 47-year-old former Slovakian army soldier, dressed in camouflage trousers with a long knife hanging from his belt, is one of the Venezuelans who call themselves home guards, a mushrooming anti-migrant movement that was until recently unthinkable in the traditionally liberal Alpine state. The name itself-styled group evokes memories of the militia that sided with fascists during World War II. I would prefer to enjoy my retirement peaceably, but security reasons are preventing this, Zidar said as he embarked on yet another of his daily foot patrols together with his wife near their home village of Radovica, nestled idyllically among the vineyards and the lush green forested hills. So, apparently, we're not the only nation that's concerned about the border. And you know, if we had people, volunteers on the border a while back, and they got in trouble with the law trying to stop them coming across. But apparently in Slovenia, these people are allowed to go in there and capture them and bring them into the cops and have them sent back over. So I just thought I'd bring it up since you mentioned immigration.
Hmm. Interesting. Very much so.
And we know we talk about the, of course, these social score in China, and we also mentioned how that the some businesses and corporations here are going to use social score with their employees, especially Silicon Valley. Well, now the CIA came out with an idea they want to try. It's called IARPA. It's a program that aims to build biometric technology that can identify people using cameras stationed on far-off rooftops and unmanned aircraft hundreds of yards away. So your biometric picture that you're going to put that she's already on your real ID will enable them to track you anywhere and everywhere. Is this not like China? Can China not do the same thing? Do they not do the same thing? For every one person in China in some places, there's two cameras already. And America is heading the same way. When will they enact a social credit score? Now, if you're a good citizen, you get a lot of privileges. If you're not, then you don't get the privileges. If they're going to set up a camera station on rooftops and who knows where else, unmanned aircraft to monitor where you are and what you're doing. Melanie, that is not freedom. That's total control, is it not?
You know, it is, and I'm just sitting here thinking, Butch, I remember when we started doing these programs in the 90s, these things mattered. I don't think these things matter anymore. I don't think people really care anymore.
People shrug it off. They don't care. It's all part of the so-called beast system, the mark of the beast system. Even the churches don't care anymore. They go right along with it. I have them tell me that. Well, I don't care. Just let them take my picture. I don't care. They have no idea where it's headed. And from you and I, we know better. And even the older church members probably know better. But they don't care enough to try to stop it for the children's sake. If they get by with that with us, what would we do with the children? Tattoo them? chip them? What's next?
I just don't think people even care about that anymore, Butch.
I know that. It's called the Hezekiah syndrome.
Nothing has happened in our lifetime.
Yep.
We've heard stories for years that, you know, it's around the corner. Oh, they're going to round everybody up and, you know, take them to all of these centers that were created for blah, 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 blah. And here we are today still talking about the same thing. People don't care.
They can't see the noose closing, can they? They can't see this idea of biometrics. They can't see the noose closing. It's like people waiting, well, the economy hasn't collapsed yet. They don't understand it's collapsing every day. It's not just overnight. It's actually deteriorating every day. Inflation and other issues are causing the economy to deteriorate. No, they're not stupid enough to let it fall overnight. People panic. They bring it in gradually. And yet people like Yang said, well, don't worry about it. We're going to give you $1,000 a month no matter what.
I think also maybe part of that is because, you know, people are having a little bit more of a difficult time. You know, every day gets harder and harder. People working harder and harder, and they're not getting ahead. So I guess it really does help when you hear a little more hope being pitched out there. They want to hear that, you know, they're working harder and things will get better and so forth and whatnot. And maybe that's, you know, we're not pitching that.
Well, our hope is not talking
about that.
No, we're not. We're showing what's happening because our hope is in Christ and His truth. You know, the scriptures are true. If we obey them, we can pull out of this. If we don't, we're going to keep going down the same tube. I mean, I got articles here. Like, I don't have time to share them now, but the AI expert says we are summoning robot entities who will treat us like ants. And the final thing here, the San Diego State University is now teaching that pedophilia is normal. There you go.
Well, we're heading into a break right now. That is normal because it's time. We'll be back tomorrow. Wendy Wilson will be joining us. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
There seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.